Dr. Jeffrey Copen understands all of this. He's the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Lake Forest Hospital. How you doing, Dr. Copen?
I'm good, Anna. Isn't that something at this late date? We still need definitions, things like close contact, right?
I'm just trying to keep up to date, you know, and I heard that and I thought, well, that must be the way schools are looking at this. I don't know. Can we start there, Dr. Copen? Because I just saw the stories, and maybe others did too, about one in four of the cases right now, roughly a little less, are children. And I wonder what you make of that statistic or what we should make of that.
Well, you know, when we think about it, what's the largest population of unvaccinated people today, right? It's kids under 12, because we don't have available vaccine yet. So it makes sense from that way. The Delta variant, which we know is very infectious, turns out can infect kids more than the other variants, that including the original one that we dealt with back, you know, over a year ago. So there really isn't a lot of surprise that we're seeing as much infection in kids. The good news, and this really is good news, is that it's the rare kid who gets infected, who gets very sick. You know, we all see reports about this, and there's stuff in the paper and on TV about the kids who wind up in intensive care units. But the good news is, though, those are very rare situations. So even though we're seeing infections in kids, the kids are not getting very ill from this infection. So that's something to feel good about.
Yeah, it is something to feel good about, and good to hear that. You know, President Biden will speak tonight about a new plan to approach COVID, and a lot of it will have to do with vaccinations. What he's expected to say, part of it is that federal employees will now have to be vaccinated, full stop. He's not going to allow for those exceptions, except for, I think, in very rare cases where you can just get tested if you don't want to get the vaccination. So that's a big move. What else do you know about it, Dr. Copen? What should we expect to hear?
You know, I think the president's going to have to outline a plan how we're going to be dealing with things. Right now, we've had a communication problem, right? Let's just think about boosters. The president made an announcement a few weeks ago that starting on September 20th, there was going to be boosters available. It sounded like for everybody who wanted one. But now we're learning from FDA and CDC that they're probably not going to be supporting that. So what is going to be the policy for boosters? What is going to be the policy for mandatory vaccines? You know, we know here in Illinois, we have an executive order from Governor Pritzker about mandatory vaccines for healthcare workers, certain state employees, right? So what is the policy going to be? What are they saying? What's the president going to say? The national plan should be to be able to deal with this COVID now that we have the Delta that isn't going away. So what I'm hoping we hear from the president, Deanna, is some clarity about some of this stuff. So at least we all can think in a similar way about the direction that we're going to go now that we're going to be getting into colder weather in the fall. The kids are back at school. Right. All these things have the potential to cause an increasing rate of COVID. So that's what we need to hear about from the president today.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. I wonder, I mean, no one really thought we'd be here now. Don't you think that's true?
Totally. You know, look, the president, we were getting Independence Day back in July 4th. Boy, that feels like a lifetime ago, doesn't it? That was going to be Independence Day from COVID. They even had a celebratory event at the White House about that. And, you know, that just hasn't happened just because of the infectiousness of Delta and the behavior of, you know, of certain people, the hesitancy still to get vaccinated. You know, there's just a lot of things that are going on. And that's why we're still in this place that we are right now. It sure would have been great if we would have had independence this summer from COVID. It just didn't happen.
I think we all sort of expected that to happen. I know I did, and I really was hopeful that it was going to be this big, let's breathe out again, and, you know, it's not going to go away. I didn't have that expectation. But that, you know, life would start to sort of get back to normal, and then now there's some troubling news, and this is the way it is. You've talked before about how we have to learn to live with the virus, and that doesn't change, but there are certainly some concerns right now.
Yeah, and I think that's the most important point, Anna. Everybody's got to learn how to live with this virus. And as we've kept stressing now for many months, how to do that, how to live with the virus is going to be different depending on an individual's health circumstance, a person's age, what their family life is like, who do they live with, what kind of work did they do. You know, it's complicated. None of this is simple. But each one of us has to come up with our own way to be able to deal with this. And then we have to be respectful of other people. And one of the things I'll tell you I'm seeing right now is a physician, there are people out there that just aren't being respectful. And that's not right. That's not right. And I'll tell you, one of the things that concerns me, and thankfully there's been a lot of media coverage about this, patients with COVID who just aren't treating our staff well, not treating our nurses well, our respiratory therapists well. These are people who are only trying to take care of sick people, and they're not being treated well by their own patients. And we can't have that. So we all just have to take a deep breath and say, we got to treat one another with respect as we continue to experience this COVID pandemic together.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, you see it happening. We hear about it in restaurants and the service industry and that kind of thing. Well, I can understand that would be pretty even more taxing for folks in the medical industry who have had a pretty rough, almost 2 years. That's tough to hear. So take a deep breath. I like that, Dr. Copan. That's a great, great, great piece of advice. Hey, I want to get to some of our listeners.
As a matter of fact, if you can successfully take a deep breath, you probably don't have bad COVID. So
I like
a good
it.
Thing too.
It's kind of a self-test, you know, self-exam at the same time. I like it. Oh, so I'm going to do one right now. Okay, so a couple questions for you from our listeners I want to get to. Here we are, 815. Have you heard, Dr. Cope, in any cases of people that have had COVID and are fully vaccinated getting a breakthrough?
So somebody recovered from a COVID infection, got vaccinated, has someone like that had a breakthrough infection?
Yes.
There are cases of that, but they're very rare. It turns out somebody who recovered from a natural COVID infection, who then also got fully vaccinated with any of the available vaccines, those people are like golden when it comes to their immune response, because they've had both a response to a natural infection plus one of our vaccines. So those people are a really good place. So the answer is yes, there are examples of breakthrough infections, but they're very rare.
847, I read the Moderna vaccine might be half the dose. Why wouldn't the Pfizer be half too? They're talking about boosters here when you talk about boosters.
Yeah, so now we're getting into the immunology of vaccine. So that's a great question. It seems that Moderna has a very robust response when that third vaccine is given, the booster dose. And the company, Moderna, must believe, we haven't seen the data yet, but I think what we'll see when FDA comments on Moderna's application for a booster dose, that the immune response to the third Moderna dose is very, very robust, and it doesn't require the same dose as the first two, that half dose will be enough in order to give that booster dose and the robust response to the booster dose. Pfizer must know from their own data that you still need the full dose from the first two doses of the Pfizer vaccine in order to get that same robust response. So it's probably a little different in the Moderna mRNA vaccine compared to the Pfizer mRNA vaccine, The good news is we know that those booster shots work really effectively. So I'm looking forward to FDA's public statement, hopefully coming up in a couple of weeks, starting with Pfizer, to see what all that data shows.
Good question here from the text line 630. My 10-year-old son had COVID. How would the Delta affect him if he was to get it? And I guess another question would be, you're building on what you said a moment ago, Dr. Copin, that Delta impacts kids more. How does Delta impact kids more in terms of severity?
Yeah, so the severity question is very much dependent on the kid. A healthy kid who gets the Delta can get like a bad cold, maybe the flu. It's the rare kid, like I said before, who's going to get very, very ill. So that's the important thing to know. The 10-year-old who had a case of COVID early on before the Delta, I would suspect is probably pretty immune to Delta. Doesn't mean that there isn't a low probability of a breakthrough infection, but that 10-year-old immune system would have had a really strong reaction to the natural infection, and I would suspect that kid is pretty well immunized and immune to the Delta should he come into contact with the Delta.
Dr. Copin, how about this one? How likely are you to get reinfected after having COVID in the past if you're not vaxxed? This person, 815, says, I feel like not enough attention is given to those previously affected and maybe should be given credit, like those who are vaccinated.
There's no question that somebody who recovered from a natural COVID infection has a good level of immunity. But what we also know, and this is from multiple places in the world with really strong data, somebody who is naturally infected, recovers, and then gets immunized, those people are in the very best situation. A lot of immunity, just a very good place, very well tolerated to get the immunization. Matter of fact, yesterday there was a study that came out of Britain. They looked at a single dose of their AstraZeneca vaccine in people who had recovered from a natural infection, and they found very, very high antibody levels in those people with one dose and not needing two. So I think we're going to be learning a lot more about people who've been infected with COVID and what the ideal strategy is. But my recommendation to somebody who has recovered from a natural COVID infection, you still should get immunized because that extra protection will serve you well into the future.
Question about ivermectin that's in the news so much because people are self-prescribing it, not doctors for COVID, but self-prescribing it or finding it on their own. Is it dangerous?
It is dangerous and it does not work. I'm sometimes amazed, Anna, how some of these ideas just gain currency. And there are people who otherwise have good judgment start to buy into these things. There are no good data anywhere in the world that ivermectin is an effective medication against a COVID infection. It just doesn't exist. There were some studies early on that were published that have been retracted or they've been shown not to be good studies. So there's no good data out there. The second thing is ivermectin taken in the wrong dosage, and a lot of people are taking higher doses than what a human being should get. Because people, you know where people are buying? A lot of people are buying the ivermectin from stores that sell for animals, domesticated animals, horses and cows. They're a lot bigger than the typical human being. So people have to be careful. Please don't do that. Please don't take ivermectin. Let the ivermectin to be used by the veterinarians to take care of horses and cows. And if you're not a horse and a cow, like the FDA said in what I thought was really a brilliant tweet, please stop taking it, y'all. Don't take it. It's not good.
It's not going to work. 708, I'm a diabetic. Here's the final one for you, Dr. Copen. I'm diabetic. I have the vaccination. My daughters are bringing people over that haven't been vaccinated. Should I tell them not to come to my house?
Yes. Yes, it's simple. Yeah, somebody who's diabetic, who's older, even if vaccinated, we don't want you to get a breakthrough infection. So you don't want to have people in your house who are not vaccinated, because even if those people are feeling well, they still could be shedding virus and it could be putting you at risk. So that, Anna, is that's a good example of how different individuals need to make different choices. So an older diabetic, even vaccinated, you do not want to be around lots of folks inside who are not vaccinated. That's not good for you.
All right. It's a tough thing. It's a tough call to make. Say, hey, they're not coming over. But you're saying make it. That's an important thing for her safety.
Yes. And hopefully that would prompt these unvaccinated people to think about getting vaccinated. Right. Then everybody's mm-hmm. in a good place.
Yep. I hear you, Dr. Copen. So many more questions to get to. We'll have to wait until next week.
Okay. Very good.
We'll talk then, Dr. Copen. Enjoy your weekend, okay?
All right. You too, Anna. Everybody enjoy this beautiful weather.